And you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 13. So in our exercising the mysteries, we have come to the chapter 13 where God gives the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. As we have looked at that, and we looked at it and we shared together that in verse 12, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, moreover, much more. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. So, and we spent time on that. Now, here we are in the season, and everything outside the world is growing. The weeds are growing, the grass is growing, plants are growing. They aren't sitting still. They're all busy and have one motive, to grow. And you pull them up, and the weed comes back. The weed wants to win. It's where it is. It has to grow. Now, and if you were reading a particular, if God had a, here's a book, if you might read a book or say that, and you find a book that you liked, and you read the first beginning of it, and it was holding your attention. So as you read the book and read the book, would you not be moved and motivated to read the next chapter? Wouldn't the chapter that you just read move you to the next chapter? You're going to go. Why? Because you're interested in it, where it's going. And so in the process, that's true in everything. Wherever your interest is, that's where you give yourself to. And you go, you stay there. This could be 1,000 books in front of you, but the book you're reading, or whatever it is, has got your attention. And you take the next page. You want to go. Okay. You got the idea. So, what does God say to Israel at this time, before he was crucified? Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist did it. The Lord Jesus picks up the message after John the Baptist is taken aside, and the Lord Jesus does it. What's he saying to Israel up and down the street? The kingdom, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right in front of you. The king and the blessing of the kingdom that he would give, and he gives it out of his head and heart. Now, that should have and did attract some. But many it didn't attract. That wasn't an interest. They weren't interested in it. They weren't interested in that book. So they didn't read that book. They didn't want to do that. Herod's king, here's Pontius Pilate representing Rome. That's enough. That's enough. We'll talk about Herod, but not about the Lord. Now, with that, reminding yourself of the background of chapter 13, go back to chapter 10 for a moment. And in chapter 10, picking up, if I may, in chapter 10, going over to verse 5. These 12, our Lord sent the 12. The Lord sent the fourth and commanded them, chapter 10, verse 5, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, but unto every city where the every city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the house of Israel, and say, verse 7, say as you go, preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You have a wonderful opportunity to have a wonderful, wonderful treat, are you going to go for it? That's the question. Are you going to go? I'm giving you an invitation to a wonderful thing. Do you want to go for it? So, having said that, chapter 11. And you know without doing all this, because we've done it, chapter 11 and 12 give us this kind of understanding. Chapter 11, picking up, please, in verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities. Now remember, back in chapter 10, he sent the 12 out. Every place, every town, they went up and down the street, city, Palestine, up and down the street, villages, up and down. In every house that would receive them, they had peace. God brought peace to them. Every house that did not, they stamped their feet before they left the doorway, stamped their feet, the dust off their feet, and condemned the house. The house had rejected the invitation. Other houses received the invitation. Now, chapter 11, in verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works were done, which were done in you, had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, verse 24, that it should be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And verse 25, in the light of the rejection of the people, he then says, a prayer to God the Father, the Son to the Father, and he said it out loud so they'd hear it. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Why? Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. So now, God, and verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things were delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So now, with that in mind, 11 and 12, the rejection, Israel, the state of Israel, rejects. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's in front of you. It's a wonderful opportunity. Therefore, chapter 13, and the parables, that's why they're given. And but you read in chapter 11, but to the children, be little children, you have revealed it unto the simple heart of a whosoever that would just believe when I told them, if they just would believe and trust me, fully dependent upon who I am. Not giving me an argument and a discussion. No, just giving me credit that I'm trying to help them understand a wonderful opportunity to enjoy God's wonderful presence. And thank you, God, my Father, for little children. Therefore, the parables. So when we came over to chapter 13 again, and in chapter 13, we read, which we just read, verse 12, to who has, shall be given more, and who hath not, shall be taken away even that which we has. And we shared that together. If you go and take something, if you just take the first part of a book, a sequence of mathematics, part of it, and you just do part of it, and you don't do the rest of it, you lose it. It's all gone. It didn't do any good. You started making the cake, and you got the flour and stuff on the table, on the whatever, but you never finish it. So you never get the cake. You start something, God said, and you don't finish it. And you lose it. You don't have it still. It's gone. It's gone. The opportunity was there, the privilege was there, and you didn't take it. Now, therefore, chapter 13 and verse 13. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, the background for that statement that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, quotes from Isaiah, verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. Our Lord tells them, in the light of Isaiah that you have in the synagogue, the roll, the scroll of Isaiah, you can open it up. And if you open it up to chapter 6, you're going to read it. We're going to go to chapter 6 for just a reminder, so that we'll do just like they did. Isaiah in chapter 6, and Isaiah says, the Lord said, who's going to go for us? And Isaiah said, verse 8, chapter 6, Isaiah, verse 8, because I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. So Isaiah said, I'll go. Aha, good. Verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. You have everything in front of you to trust me and receive it. I'm handing you the gift. I'm telling you, I'm giving it to you. I'm right here, like we shared the other day. I'm right in front of you, the Lord said. Here I am. But you don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to know that. So therefore, sliding back in, make the heart of this people, verse 13, 12, make the heart of this people bat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest, make sure it doesn't happen, they said, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. They don't want to be healed. They don't want to change. They don't want to change, and they're going to make sure they don't change, because they aren't going to see, they aren't going to hear, and they don't want to understand. And as long as you don't want to see, and you don't want to hear, and you don't want to understand, then you don't. That's all. And so you can sit in church, using that illustration, you can sit in church for 400 years, and it won't do you much good. Not much good. Don't want to learn. Plus, that's assuming there's something to have. Now, having said that little bit, back over if I can, and by the way, just remember, in the chapter 6 of Isaiah, Isaiah said, that's an awesome, that's not a very nice assignment to have to go talk to people that don't want to hear. So Jeremiah and all of them, they don't want to hear. Then said I, verse 11, then said I, O Lord, how long am I going to have to be under those conditions? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. You're going to do it till the Assyrians and Babylonians level the city. You're not going to have any success. But I want you to go. It won't be that I didn't do it. It won't be that I didn't tell Israel. I told them. I had the prophets. I told them. So you just tell them, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. You just tell them. But no, I want them to know. They can never say at the great white throne judgment, we didn't know. That's why Revelation 20, at the great white throne judgment of the unsaved, you don't hear one statement negative. No complaints. Everyone knows they're justly judged. They're justly judged. That's very sobering. So therefore, and they're going to have to do that. Now, keeping that in mind, back over to chapter 13. And in chapter 13, picking up, please, if I can, chapter 13, and going to verse 13, verse 14. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which we just read, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. It's all filled up. The prophecy is filled up. It's completed. There's nothing left. It's just going to be what it is. And by hearing, they're going to hear, but they aren't going to believe. In no wise, shall not perceive. They're not going to perceive. In no wise. They're just not going to do it. In no way are they going to understand. Seeing, they're going to see, but in no way they're going to understand, but they aren't going to. They're going to hear to understand, but they don't want to understand. So therefore, verse 15, for this people's heart, explanation, reason, why don't they hear? Why don't they see? Why don't they understand? Verse 4, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull. The word dull is the word heavy, heavy. It is used, without turning there, if you were reading the Garden of Gethsemane before the Lord was crucified, and what did the disciples do? Three, James and John, what did they do? They were asleep. Why? Because it says their eyes were heavy. They just slept. It was too much. And that's the word it's going to use again. Why? What's wrong with you guys? We're sleeping. It's just not, anyway, you got the idea. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, verse 15. For the people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull, heavy of hearing, their eyes they have closed. Well, how are you going to see if you close your eyes? But you're determined to keep your eyes closed. Think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And I close my eyes so I can't believe, I can't see, because I close my eyes. And the devil takes advantage of that attitude because we chose not to see, and the devil makes sure you don't see. You don't see. Now, that's pretty neat. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest it means negative interruption at any time. Lest at any time. That means not ever, not never, 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 not ever. Never. We don't want to hear, we don't want to hear, we don't want to hear, we don't want to hear. Seeing with their eyes, they hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, changed. And I should heal them. I should cure them. But they don't want to be cured. They don't want to be cured. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear God to heal them. They don't want anything. They don't want any of it to happen at all. So now, having said that, and so that's why. So you want to know why? The Jewish nation crucified Christ. I just gave you the reminder of your background. He came under his own saved. We don't want to hear. We don't want to know any different. We like being where we are. We aren't interested in God's program for our heart. We have our own program. We're reading our own book in our own way for our own reasons. And we're following and doing what we do because we want to do it. and we don't want to go where you're going, God. So therefore, having said that little bit, so here are the two groups. You've got the group that are believing, and here you've got Peter, James, and John. Go back up if you can, verse 11. And he answered and said unto his disciples, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. It's given unto you to know. You have been selected, Peter, James, and John, and even Judas. And you have been selected. And if you took John chapter 14 and read, God said, listen, the Spirit of truth is going to come. And when he comes, he's going to dwell in you. But in the meantime, he's going to keep you. Peter, James, and John, like Abraham, were chosen by God because they were going to believe. All the way through, as you read the Gospels, Judas is understood that he didn't. But God allowed him. Judas said, can't I come? And he came. He came. But God knew. And he says it, I should turn the pages. So you know it's no surprise when Judas goes out and becomes the traitor, the one who turns in our Lord to the Gentiles, to the Jews and the Gentiles to be crucified. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know. And the word know means, this is not the word to know everything at once, to feel, I know I'm alive. That's the word K-N-O-W. I know I'm alive. So I don't have any development of that subject. I just know it. But when I use this word know, I'm going to know, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. It's a knowing, progressive knowing. I'm knowing, I'm knowing, I'm knowing, I'm knowing, I'm knowing. And the disciples, Peter, James, and John, they're going to know. And thus, chapter 13, verse 16. And in chapter 13 and verse 16, but contrast to verse 15. But blessed are your eyes, Peter, James, and John. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. They are seeing, they are hearing. You can't do anything with it, Peter, James, and John, till after Pentecost, till I'm crucified. But you are going to have it. You are in possession of it. And don't worry about losing it, because John chapter 14, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry will make it all real to you after I'm crucified. And you won't have to remember what I told you today. Wait a while. When he comes, he'll tell you everything that he wants you to remember. So you don't have to, that's how Moses, how do we get the book Genesis, you know, in the beginning God. And here comes Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. Abraham, you didn't have a book, no. Job, you didn't have a book, Job, no. No, as it were, we didn't have it like that. No, Moses, God, you did it. Now, having said that, now do what we said, what we tried to say in the beginning. The plants have to grow. If you're reading a book or you're doing something you really like, you're going to keep wanting to read it and know it. If you're learning how to do something, and you're learning how to do it. If you're learning, I don't know, knitting, but I think there's knitting. Knitting, and there's knitting, and there's knitting. And if you do this and do this and do this and whatever you do, and you really want to knit, then you want to learn knitting. So you practice knitting so you can knit. That's what you do, because you want to know it. Therefore, the exercise in verse 16, blessed are your eyes and your ears, and thus your understanding. Now I want to look at that, because we talked about growing. And that's the whole point. You want to grow. You want to have some attachment to what you're reading. Here we are on prayer meeting. We're trying to have, what am I here for? I'm not here to sit and listen to something. No, I'm here to try to learn something. And what am I going to learn today? And I learn something else tomorrow. And it all sticks together. And I want to learn. I want to develop. I want to become all that I can. I'm interested in the next chapter. I'm going to go and check the weeds in the garden because I want the corn to grow. I'm going to do it. Now, so therefore, blessing. Okay, you're going to be blessed. I'm going to be blessed. We want to be blessed. Deuteronomy chapter 28, as you know. Deuteronomy and chapter 28. And chapter 28, remember chapter 27, we have all the curses. And chapter 28, we have the blessings and the curses. So, in chapter 28, you'll remember that Israel, before they crossed the Jordan, this is the whole nation. This isn't just Moses. This is everybody. Everybody. Everybody take heed. If you're going to honor God, the Lord Jesus said, preach the kingdom of heaven. That's what he was doing in chapter 13. He preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to believe. It's right in front of you. Now, so if you're going to believe God and trust God, here's the Israelites going to cross the Jordan. Chapter 28 in verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the world. And remember the commandments, summed up simply, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thy neighbor as thyself. You got it. Good. Now, if you're going to do that, verse 2, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then it lists the blessings. All of these blessings are for every man, woman, boy, and girl in that tribe, in that nation, each tribe, every one of them. Every one of them had it. So God, that's what I'm looking at. Here we are. Hang on. Now, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And remember the word overtake. Just think of the lion chasing the antelope, pursuing it. And the lion's going to have to run real fast. So here comes the lion running. That's what it says. My blessings will hunt you down like the lion. How's that? My blessings will hunt you down like the lion does. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Cursing, yeah, boy, that's chapter 27. That's different. But when it comes to blessings, if you're seeking me with all your heart, you couldn't avoid the blessings. If you're going to walk with me, walk in the light as I am in the light, you don't have to worry about blessing. I'm going to hunt you down. I'm going to be your God. Because that's what you're asking me to do in the first place. Now, having said that, and then just look at a couple of them so you see it. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of the root ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of the kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. In other words, you got your daily enough food for supper, and you got enough for next week. You got enough. Okay. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up again. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten down before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before another. And you can keep reading, blessing after blessing, blessing after blessing. And verse 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. And you remember David, when we did all these things, you remember David was blessed. That's why the people knew David was, they said it. He's blessed. He's blessed when he goes out. He's blessed when he comes in. He's a blessed man. That's what they said. Now, when you go out and when you come in, and every Israelite had that. But when we come to chapter 13 and Israel is in the presence of our Lord, ultimately going to crucify him, and what are they doing? They're saying, we have no king but Caesar. And what are they saying? We don't want it. We don't want it. We aren't interested, Lord. We aren't interested. You want, that's why you're going to speak to us in parables, because we don't want to understand anyway. So you can tell us about the grass growing. You can tell us about the corn growing in the garden. But don't bother with anything else. We aren't interested in what you're trying to tell us. Parables are enough. Just give us what you want. Give us a little story. It's enough. Okay. So now, exercise. Psalm 121. And in Psalm 121, if I may. And you remember, wonderful psalm, as the psalms are. And you will note, verse one, I'll read it, it's only eight verses, but to me, as I'm reading, note, if you would. Verse one, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. I'm not looking for idols on top of the hills where they put the idols. No, I'm looking past the hill. I'm looking past the hill to the God that made the mountain, to the God that made the hill. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Keep to guard, to keep. He that keepeth me shall not neither slumber nor sleep. He's always on the job. Verse 5, the Lord is my keeper. There it is again. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Again. Verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from evil, all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The word preserve, the word guard, the word keep. It's the same word as you have down in verse 4 and verse 3. Preserve, keep. Verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Again, same thing. The Lord, verse 8. The Lord shall preserve, keep thy going out and thy coming in. And there's Deuteronomy 28:6. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. I'm going to come. So the truth of God's blessing. So what do you say in Matthew 13? You are going to be blessed because you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Psalm number one. And remember, and in Psalm number one by David, picking up if I can, it introduces the whole book of 150 Psalms and introduces it. What are we doing? Going to say, blessed, that's what you're going to say. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but standeth in the way of the sin, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scoundrel. He's trying to go in the right direction, in the right way, for the right reasons. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Remember Deuteronomy 28, if you honor my word, my blessing is going to hunt you down. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He wants to read the next chapter. He wants to go to the next thing. He wants to learn. He wants to grow. I want to know. I want to know. I'm knowing, I want to know. Verse 3. And he shall be like what? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's just going to be. He's going to be blessed. Going out, coming in. Yesterday, today. In sickness, you're blessed. In health, you're blessed. When you fall down, you're blessed. When you get up, you're blessed. God is being a wonderful God in his wonderful way to outwork his awesome life in our life. And we want to know the next chapter to be how it's going to go. So now, to be like a tree, and a wonderful, wonderful thing. And you can go and do that again in Jeremiah chapter 17. And in fact, we'll do it just to keep you awake. Chapter 17. And in chapter 17, again, just to tie it in your mind, since God says things over and over again. Chapter 17 and verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For reason, he shall be like the heath in the desert, a tumbleweed, and he shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. On the contrary, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. It's just going to keep growing. Because why? The more you have, Matthew chapter 13, verse 12, the more you have, the more you're going to get. And the more you have, you're going to have more. And there's no end to it. No end. I'm just going to go. When are we done learning? You can't be. That's why you can't graduate down here. You have to do it all the way to the end. And you haven't finished. You have to trust him all the way. I haven't finished, said God. When I take you home, I'm finished with you here. But until I take you home, I'm not finished. I'm not finished. So you sit tight and get the next page. I want to learn. I do. I do. And when we, God, when are we going to be done knowing you? We're never going to be done knowing you. So, and therefore if we can, in the light of that, and you know, over if we would please, over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, Epistle to the church in Ephesus, the lead church, to give an example to all churches. And in Ephesians chapter 1, and you remember, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If the Israelite would trust God, Deuteronomy chapter 28, they would have known, like David did, the blessing of going in and out. And David and others, not many, enjoyed that. What do we know? When we came to the Lord as our Savior, God, we aren't like the Old Testament now. We received you. We received you, God the Father, in Christ our Lord. We received him as our Savior and Lord. And when we received him, when we received the Lord, we received one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many blessings, the Lord Jesus Christ, how many blessings are you going to have? When he came into your heart, when God came into your heart, and you really, really believed, when God came into your heart, how many blessings did he bring? Let me get my calculator. Yeah. All of them. All the blessings that are going to come from our human experience next week are already in your heart. They're already in your heart. In Christ. All the blessings that are come next year, if the Lord tarries, if he tarries, all the blessings that will be there next year are already in your heart, in Christ. There aren't any missing. You have access to all the blessings of heaven in the God of heaven who's in your heart. You aren't going to have any more. Now you have to learn that, but believe it. If you don't believe it, what I just said is a bunch of malarkey. It's nothing. Stupid. He said some stupid thing like that. No, I didn't. In the light, it's quite clear. In the darkness, we can say it's nothing. But in the light, that sense that changes the darkness, and I have to see. So now, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, and you know from Luke 17 and that we did last time, and the disciples said, as they faced the wonderfulness of having to follow and turn to the next page and grow up and learn to forgive and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. We don't have any faith like that. Oh, you see, God, we gotta increase your faith. And that's what God's gonna do. He's gonna help us. To what? To believe God. We walk by faith and not by sight. So we have to walk. We don't walk 10 feet. We walk 10 years. Every day. By faith. By faith. By faith. And every day, there's the blessing. Going to keep unfolding. If I'm trusting God. Because I want to grow. He that hath shall have more. He that hath no. He that hath and doesn't want any more will lose it. Lose it. Gotta have it. So in the process, if you would, over to Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, and where are you? Psalm 119, if I can. Picking up, you catch the flavor of it, of where we want to go. 119, delayeth, verse 25. 119, 25. Now, I'm going to read, take it where we're going. My soul cleaveth unto the Lord, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. I am dust, I'm going back to dust. Quicken, make me alive. Quicken thou me, according to thy word. Thy word, God, I'm dust. You've got to exercise the wonderful life in mine because I'm going downhill, but I'm not supposed to be going downhill, but all the time I'm going uphill. Verse 26, I have declared my ways. Thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. So they had eyes to see, and they wanted to see. They had ears to hear, they wanted to hear. They were going to understand with their heart. So that's what are you saying? The believer is saying, make me to understand thy way of thy precept, the way of thy precepts. Verse 28, my soul melteth with heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Always your, that's why we're reading. That's why we're looking at it. Your word. because I have to go to the next chapter, the next verse. I got to keep reading, because each time I'm learning, I'm growing. I want to know the next chapter. Verse 29, remove from me thy way, the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have struck unto thee thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. Now, verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. God, you got to make me, I'm using your mind. Here's your brain with all its capacity. And you exercise it, and you learn how to spell, learn how to write, you learn how to count. At least you used to do that. Someone just told me that you don't have to learn to write anymore in school. I don't know how, you don't have to learn to write anymore because the AI will do it for you. And you don't have to, they don't require writing to be able to write a sentence. You don't have to do it. You just have to have the right thing with batteries so you can do it. That's pretty good. I even think I could go back to school at that rate. Now, so therefore, I will enlarge thy heart in a most wonderful way, God. So what I want to do. So here's your heart. Here's the little kid learning. Little kid learning. He just started. And here's your brain, here's computers, but here's your brain. The great storage for all kinds of knowledge. Your brain houses pictures, color, experience, words. Your brain holds history. Everything you're seeing right now, we say, is in your brain, but you focus on something. Your brain is awesome. Like a computer, it even makes computers look bad, even AI. Now, here it is, your growing brain. Now, when you get older, you learn more. What are you doing? Your little head, you were just struggling with 2 + 2 + 4. That was enough. But you know what? And then you grow, and you're learning. That's what you're doing. And your brain, your mind, is expanding, and it's good enough to know the multiplication, that's 4, 4. But no, I want to know it. But 9, 9, 9. I want to keep growing. I want more. My mind is enlarged. What are you looking for? We walk in the light, as he is in the light. And the light shines. Right now, here's the light shining. And because there's light, you can see colors. You can see everything. You can see with your eyes because of light. If I take the light away, you can't see. So what am I doing, God? The more I walk in the light, the more I see. I'm the same thing. What am I seeing? The same things that are in the dark. Only I see them now. I see them differently in the light. The more I walk in the light, the more I understand my heart. And like the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, he says, not Timothy, I'm the chief of sinners, but as he's growing, what did you learn, Paul? In me dwelleth, Romans 7:18. In me dwelleth no good thing. I was the least of the saints. Now I'm the chief of sinners because I walk in the light, and the light sends the darkness away, because the minute I turn the light on, the darkness is gone. Is it not? Try it. Go into your closet or something. When you turn the light on, where'd the darkness go? How much darkness went? All of it went because you're walking in the light. That's what you're doing. So God, enlarge my heart, enlarge my brain. We're meant to be human. 100 years ago, Einstein, I told you, he said the average person only uses 2% of his brain. 98% of their brain is never used. Never used. Capable, but never used. Just never used. My vocabulary is limited to 10 words, and that's enough, you see. You know, it's capable of awesome. If you don't believe the capability of it, think of the electronic world and AI right now. The invention, what they've done. What they've done. People with here thinking they have created this world, which is awesome, to say at least. Now, having said that, God enlarged my heart. And so in the darkness, God, you're going to help me to see. Help me to see as I walk in the dark, as I live in the dark. And since you're in Psalms, go with me, please, over to Psalm 23. Then in Psalm 23, and you'll pick up, if I may, at least touch it so you see it as you know it. Psalm 23, picking up, please. I'm going to go to verse 7. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, but what I want to get ahead of that, and time's gone, but at least touch on it. Here we are. I'm going to go to verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm going down the corridor of time. I'm going to bless the going out and you're coming in. I'm going to bless when you go to bed. I'm going to bless when you get out of bed. I'm going to do the whole thing. I want to do it, said God. You don't have to worry. You can't abide. The branch can't abide in the tree without the life 24 hours a day, every single second of every minute. The tree is enjoying the fullness of the tree. The branch is enjoying, I should say. Enjoying the fullness of the tree. Isn't it? It's enjoying the fullness. It's never short. The branch never said, boy, could you give me a little more something? No, it doesn't. It just enjoys the fullness. So now, at verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now in closing, you got that. Over to Proverbs. And in Proverbs, can't even do it. It's a wonderful thing. Proverbs. Oh, where to go? Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. If I may. And you'll note. Proverbs chapter 4, if I may, picking up in thought, if I can, in verse 18. Chapter 4, verse 18. But the path, remember what you just read in Psalm 23? He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Just catch it. Verse 18, chapter 4, verse Proverbs 4. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect, full, complete day. Wonderful. You start in the sun, you just keep going. And the day doesn't get duller as you walk in the light. The more you walk in the light in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, you will enjoy more of the path. Thy word is a light unto my path, unto my feet. So God, as I'm going to go, I'll bless you going out. I'll bless you going in. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. You may get all kinds of things, but I'm going to help you through them because I want you to learn. What are you learning? A wonderful dependence on who I am. And I'm very, very, want you to know it, I want you to enjoy, which we're all trying to get a hold of more and more. I want you to enjoy my wonderful presence. And we're in his presence right now. I want you to enjoy it. That's how Moses, how did you live? Knowing all that you did. I saw him who was Hebrews 11. I saw him who was invisible. I walked before the invisible God in the midst of Egypt with all of the gods up and down the river. And I walked with you, God. I saw you. Not in the statutes. I saw you, God. By faith. We walk by faith and not by sight.